Okay, we're coming back now to our study in Romans chapter 15. We can see from reading these verses, we can see Paul's earnest, fervent desire to be with these people who were believers who lived in Rome, that city of civilization, that city in that day who was on the cutting edge of all things. That Paul had a deep, deep interest in their spiritual welfare of these believers at Rome. He prayed for them, desiring to personally come and to meet them and to see them and to be with them. But most certainly he wanted to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. If you will hold your place there and turn back to Romans chapter 1. You remember in Romans chapter 1, he says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." These believers were faithful. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." He was on there. These people were on his heart, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. "Well, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. For I'm a debtor," verse 14, "both to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to the barbarians, for to the wise and to the unwise, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome." Paul was a preacher of the gospel, but he earnestly desired to see the salvation of sinners. And it burned in his heart, and he longed to meet these people. Now, notice verse 22, Romans 15. "For which cause also I have been much hindered, or in many ways, oftentimes, as the marginal reference had, hindered from coming unto you, because the Apostle Paul had been so fully occupied in preaching the gospel in many other places." He was always about preaching. Everywhere he went preaching. "He was hindered at this time," he writes this letter, "from coming to them," and he writes this letter from Corinth. Remember, he stayed there in Corinth 18 months. Have you ever noticed the footnote at the end of these books? Turn to Romans 16, the last verse, and then notice a little footnote. Do you ever notice these? "Written to the Romans from Corinthus by Phoebe, the servant of the church of Cenchrea, and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church of Cenchrea." So when Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, he is at Corinth. Now, remember how long he stayed at Corinth? He stayed at Corinth 1 year and 6 months. 18 months he was there preaching the gospel. We also know that he was hindered from going to Rome at that time because of the purpose of God, because of the will of the Lord. Remember in Acts chapter 18, when Paul was persecuted for the gospel and he was ready to cut tail and leave town. Remember in Corinth, Acts 18. Remember what the Lord said to him? "Paul, don't leave. You stay right here, for I have much people in this city." And he stayed there longer than he stayed anywhere else. I would think so. He stayed there 18 months preaching. As he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Remember what he said? "I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul was a determined preacher of the gospel, but he had a great desire to come and to see them, but he was hindered, and we know it's by the will and purpose of God. Look at verse 23 and 24. But now, having no more place in these parts, and he's talking about all the places that he had been, where he had visited as a missionary and preached the gospel and established many, many churches in Galatia, Ephesus, Thessalonica, all the different places that he visited. Having a great desire these many years to come unto you, verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, and of course this is always contingent upon the will of the Lord, I will come to you. That is, if you look at the map, as you go all the way over to the European countries, Paul was going to stop by Italy and Rome on his way to Spain. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, we know from reading the record of Scripture, Paul never made it to Spain, did he? He did go to Rome, but not the way he thought he would go there. But he never made it to Spain. He mentions that again down in verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, that is the gift that was taken of the Gentile churches, I will come by you into Spain. Now, a lot of times we purpose to do things, don't we? And it's nothing. There's nothing wrong for us to have a goal or an ambition to do this or to do that. But remember what James taught us. Whenever we desire to go to this city or that city or do this or to do that, it's always by this rule, if the Lord wills it. And that's where we live. That's the reality of our life. Paul had planned to take a trip as far west as Spain, and on that way there to stop by the country of Italy and into Spain. He says there in verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts. Now, what he's saying here is this. He felt like his ministry in these parts of Macedonia and Achaia, in the countries of Illyricum, he felt like his ministry there was completed, done. That's why he uses this phrase, no more place in this region, in this area, this climate. But he expresses having a great desire, not just for a day or a time, but for many years. He desired to come unto them and to preach the gospel. Now we know that the Apostle Paul, from reading the book of Acts, we know that the Apostle Paul did go to Rome, didn't he? But you remember how he went there? He went there in chains. He went there as a prisoner. We would say a prisoner of the Roman government. But Paul, as you read through his epistles, you remember what? When he talked about being a prisoner, remember he always added? You remember what he added? He added, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. He never considered himself a prisoner of Rome. But he was a captive of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes he referred to himself more often as a servant of the Lord than he called himself the apostle of the Lord. And he was both. But he was a prisoner of the Lord. Now, look at verse 25. But now, he said, I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now, this is most interesting. While Paul was in Corinth and preaching the gospel in those areas of Macedonia and Achaia, he heard of the sufferings and the persecution of the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and he desired to go there and to minister to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see something of this man's compassion. Now, we know that when he goes to Jerusalem, from reading the record in the book of Acts, when he goes to Jerusalem, remember what happened to him? He was persecuted, he was arrested, and he was sent to Rome as a prisoner. Now, I've got a reference written down here in Acts 24:17. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. He said, "Now after many years, I come to bring alms to my nations and offerings unto." You remember, Paul was a Jew. He was a one-time Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. You remember from chapter 9 and chapter 10, he said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, his own blood relationship, that they may be saved." He had a desire for the Roman Gentiles to believe the gospel, but he also had a desire for those in Jerusalem who were the self-righteous Jews. He also desired to see their salvation. How troubled in my own heart that I don't have the conviction for the seeing God save other sinners. Now, I have a conviction, but I want a greater conviction. And I mean by that, I want the Lord to give me a greater burden to see the Lord save sinners. Not this idea, well, you know, everything is predestinated and determined, we don't need to do anything. That is so, but I also want a desire, like the Apostle Paul had. I want a desire for the Lord to use this ministry to be the means of the salvation of other people. And the Lord uses the preaching of the gospel to bless his people and to call them out with the gospel. That's why we endeavor to preach the gospel on the internet, on the radio, through the tape ministry, through the bulletin ministry. This gospel goes everywhere. Out of this little place, the gospel is sent. Why do we do that? Because he's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I can't personally, in my person, travel to all countries in this world, China, Russia, Australia, all the different countries around. But you know, when we get that sermon audio report each month, you know, there's over 60 foreign countries where the gospel from this place has gone out. 60 foreign countries in every state, 50 states. Now, it's amazing, is it not? And the Lord blesses his word where he is pleased to send. Some of these countries, I read through that list, some of these countries I've never even heard of. There's just little teeny outposts, but the Lord has his people where they are, and he will, by one means or the other, get the gospel to them. By internet, maybe by someone traveling and preaching the gospel to them, but the Lord, it pleased the Lord through preaching to call out and to save his people. Now, look at verse 26. "For it had pleased them." Now, he uses this word here, pleased, twice. Verse 26, "For it had pleased them." Verse 27, "It pleased them verily." Now, this is most interesting. "It pleased them of Macedonia." Now, this includes the churches of Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth. "It pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia." And that, again, is this region of Illyricum. You can look at your map. "To make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It had pleased them verily." Now, when Paul was there preaching the gospel, he had heard of the persecution of those believers who stood for the gospel there in Jerusalem. "And it was pleasing to the Gentile church in Macedonia and Achaia and that region to take up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem." To take up a monetary money collection. "And he did so not by the commandment of the law of Moses." We're going to read this in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 8:9. "Not by the commandment of the law of Moses, but out of love for Christ, out of thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ." You remember we studied in the book of James, or maybe it's in the book of James and in the book of Acts, where it says it's always a blessing to give rather than to receive. It is a joy to give, to be able to support the ministry. And the basis of giving, the basis of our giving is out of love, gratitude, and thanksgiving. I mean, the Lord has done so much for us. We give back. You see, we give back only that which belongs to Him. Everything belongs to the Lord. And giving, our giving as believers, is out of love, gratitude, and thanksgiving. God has so blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It is a blessing to give to support the ministry of the gospel. Now, notice verse 27. Romans 15, 27. And it had pleased them truly. I mean, they were truly blessed and pleased to take up this offering. And then he mentions here that they're debtors. They're debtors. Now, we're all debtors to God's mercy and His grace. We're all mercy debtors. It had pleased them verily, and they're debtors. We're debtors unto God, aren't we? We're debtors to His grace. And these folks feel indebted to the Lord for all the blessings they had received. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, and we are made partakers by His grace, we are partakers of a divine nature. We are partakers of all spiritual blessings in Christ. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, and that's what He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Remember, Ephesians chapter 1. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Now, it pleased them, because they were debtors to the Lord's mercy. Now, let's turn and read about this when Paul, what he's writing about is what is given to us over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice, grace is bestowed, it's not earned. Grace is the free favor of God. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, or their generous heart. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You remember, it pleased them truly. Praying us with much entreaty, or asking us that we would receive the gift, the offering, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord, inasmuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish also in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, look at verse 7, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound also in this grace also. Now, what's he talking about here? It's the grace of giving. For I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, here's the bottom line. In all of our giving, look at verse 9. One of my favorite verses. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. So He encourages them to give on the basis of how the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. That though He was rich in all rich blessings, He impoverished Himself with our humanity and with our sin, that we might be truly made heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly partakers of all spiritual blessings. Now, back to the text, Romans 15, 27. It had pleased them verily, and their debtors. Their debtors they are. They recognize and own that too, don't they? For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, Their duty is also to minister unto them in natural things, carnal things. Because the Gentile church had benefited so much and had been blessed with spiritual blessings by the gospel that was first given to the Jews, the Gentile church felt it their honor, duty, and privilege, responsibility, was to give to those believers in Jerusalem to help them with natural things. They have been blessed by the spiritual blessing that came through the Jews. Now the Gentile church wanted to help the church there in Jerusalem. Now look at verse 28. When therefore I have performed this, Paul takes up this collection and personally takes this money that was collected and delivers it to the church there in Jerusalem. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, it is a fruit of the Spirit of God working in them, I will come to you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This generous spirit of giving and concern and love for other believers is the fruit of the Spirit working in us. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Paul was eager to personally deliver this gift to the believers at Jerusalem, and we know that he did so. Now, don't turn. Let me just read this to you, and our time is gone. But in Acts chapter 20, when the believers at Ephesus there warned him that bonds and afflictions awaited him in Jerusalem, remember? In Acts 20, verse 23, he says, verse 22, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the thing that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And that was his desire, to preach the whole, or to preach, as he says there, all the counsel of God, keeping back nothing that was profitable unto them.